Hello, this is Kathleen, and today, Friday, February 20th, I'll be reading to you from the Daily News of Newburyport. Downtown Improvement Project on Track. City Officials Update Plans by Matt Petrie, Newburyport. Although winter weather has put work on pause, city officials said completion of a major downtown improvement project is still on track. Newburyport's downtown lighting and paving project is expected to resume and poised to complete its third phase in the early spring, Mayor Sean Reardon said. The polls for the downtown lighting project are due in March, he said. As long as they come in on time, we will be beginning installation the first week in April. I am excited to get those in and installed. It's really going to add to safety and visibility downtown. The project is currently in its third phase, which will see 47 lights replaced on Water Street, with 18 new lights being installed between State Street and Pleasant Street, 9 on the western side of State Street between Pleasant and Harris Streets, and 9 on the eastern side of State Street between Pleasant and Prospect Street. City electrician Jeff Matheson began prep work for the light pole bases, working with TW Construction last fall, while Allied Construction did the brickwork. This entailed trenching close to the curb line to install conduit and then connecting the conduit under the curb to the sidewalk, where concrete bases will be poured below the grade of the brick. A small void has been created where each pole will be installed, marked by cones on wood blocks. The other portion of Phase 3 has been street paving, pausing work last year in October with the completion of State Street, which concluded the 2025 paving schedule. Reardon said plans for 2026 are still developing. Still working on the paving plan for this year, he said. More info to follow. The work was carried out by the city's contractor, Melrose-based D&R Paving LLC, in coordination with the Department of Public Services, DPS. The cost of the phase is the project is $345,000, with most of the money coming from the city's paid parking account, according to Reardon. City Planning and Development Director Andy Port spoke on the importance of the project. We have a lot of people who come downtown, residents and visitors in the summer in particular, so they're going to care about the infrastructure they're driving over and walking over and enjoying, Port said. So it's just as important as the built environment buildings, I think, for people's experiences. Reardon also briefly touched on the upcoming snowstorm, sharing that there will be a parking ban Friday. We are anticipating more snow tomorrow into Saturday, he said. This will be a plowable event. Blue lights will be turned on tomorrow morning with snow emergency parking ban going into effect in the afternoon. We have seen 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 inches of snow. No bluefin blowout slated this summer. Organizers looking for new management. By Bobby Grader, staff writer. The annual Bluefin Blowout Tuna Fishing Tournament will not be returning this summer, but its organizers are looking to pass the torch to anyone interested in keeping the event alive. At its core, it is a fishing tournament, but it's become a lot more than that. It has become a community-wide event that we're so proud and honored to have hosted and organized, said Lynn Wan, Auto Group Marketing Director Sedalia Schwartz. Schwartz said the Lion WOW Auto Group is stepping away as the tourney's organizers because the event has become too big to manage while also overseeing 7 car dealerships. The tournament, based at Cape Ann Marina, 75 Essex Ave, attracted anglers as near as Gloucester and New England and as far as the West Coast. For us to be able to provide the same level of community service, care, and organization that we've been doing for so many years is difficult, Schwartz said. At some point, we just have to close the chapter on it because it will consume all of our time. The Lyon WOW Auto Group has been the tournament's main sponsor since 2011 and took over its organization in 2014. Gloucester resident Warren WOW, W-A-U-G-H, managing partner for the Lyon WOW Auto Group, said in a statement, should someone else take over the management of the Bluefin Blowout, his group would continue to sponsor the event. The tournament began as an idea scratched out on a bar napkin by founders Drew Hale and Rob Boulay, and eventually grew into the biggest bluefin tuna tournament in the world, attracting fishermen from near and far and bringing thousands of people into Gloucester for a multi-day celebration. The tournament grew from the initial 30 participating boats in 2011 to last year's event that included 118 boats. Last year's event also saw fishermen reel in 15 tuna, totaling 7,686 pounds. I don't think we expected it to get this big, but it always comes back to the Gloucester community. It's unlike anyone else, Schwartz said. I'm not surprised it got this big, because the community is just that big. We couldn't have done it without them. Once the auto group took over the event, it began raising money for the Alzheimer's Association. In total, the tournament raised $2.6 million for the association to support its mission of helping those with Alzheimer's and their families, a cause close to the organizers. Warren's wife, Liz, passed on from Alzheimer's, and that was a cause very near and dear to Warren, Schwartz said. We found that more and more people in our community were challenged with the same disease. According to Schwartz, there have not been any inquiries to take the event over yet, but she is confident that the auto group will get some. Anyone interested in taking over the event's organization to reach out to Schwartz at CSCHWARTZ@LYONWAUGH.com. GOP Seeks Hearings on SNAP Oversight by Christian M. Wade, State House Reporter, Boston. The state's Senate's Republican minority is calling for oversight hearings to investigate allegations of fraud in the state's disbursement of federal SNAP benefits. In a letter to Senate Mark Montigny, chair of the Democratic-controlled Senate Committee on Post-Audit and Oversight, Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr, Republican from Gloucester, and the other 4 members of the caucus call for hearings to investigate significant and recurring evidence of fraud in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and other public assistance. The GOP lawmakers cited state audits, federal investigations, and a news report based on a whistleblower account that suggested operational failures within the State Department of Transitional Assistance and that Healey administration is failing to adequately protect taxpayer funds and program beneficiaries. 2 weeks ago, federal authorities charged 4 people including two Venezuelan nationals, in more than $1 million multi-state SNAP fraud and stolen identity case. Federal prosecutors alleged the men used the stolen personal information of over 100 people to fraudulently obtain SNAP benefits in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and used the benefits to stock a Mexican restaurant and collect the profits. In December, federal authorities charged two Haitian nationals in a $7 million trafficking scheme to collect SNAP food benefits from a Boston storefront. In both cases, U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts Leah Foley blamed Governor Maura Healey's administration for lack of enforcement of the program. Federal officials have indicated that some of these schemes were not referred by Massachusetts agencies, underscoring gaps in detection and reporting. The GOP senators wrote in the demand for oversight hearings. The lawmakers also cited investigations by the State Auditor's Bureau of Special Investigations that have uncovered more than $34 million in public benefits fraud over the past three fiscal years, with SNAP fraud accounting for a majority of the graft in every year. Taken together, the BSI's multi-year findings, the whistleblower's detailed account of internal dysfunction, the federal government's discovery of large-scale fraud, schemes, and the conflicting statements regarding referrals to federal authorities, these developments present a clear pattern of systemic vulnerabilities that warrant immediate legislative oversight, they wrote. But the Healey administration has pushed back on claims of lax enforcement in the federally funded program, formerly known as food stamps, and claims that it has robust measures in place to detect and prevent public benefits fraud. President Donald Trump's administration has threatened to cut off federal funding for Democrat-run states if they do not provide proper oversight of SNAP benefit payments. The crackdown comes in response to allegations that a group of Somali immigrants defrauded Minnesota taxpayers of more than $1 billion through the state's Medicaid program. In Massachusetts, more than 1.1 million people received benefits from the program, which provided $2.6 billion in funding in 2024, according to the Healey administration. The distribution of SNAP benefits in November was delayed by a 43-day shutdown of the federal government amid partisan bickering in Congress over extending expiring Affordable Care Act enhanced tax credits. Tarr's office said the GOP senators had not received a response as of Thursday afternoon. In the spirit, Another Sleepless Night by the Reverend Rebecca Bryan. Perhaps, like me, sometimes you wake in the night to the sound of your questioning mind. It was 11:38 p.m., January 8, 2026. Renee Nicole Good had been killed by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE agent the day before. I had gone to sleep a little before 10 p.m., hoping to sleep until the alarm went off at 5 a.m. Instead, my eyes opened less than 2 hours later. My mind was clear and determined, ready to face the day. Sure, it was time to put on the morning coffee. Within moments, it was clear that sleep was evading me, and the events in our country, this time Renee Good's death, were front and center. None of the recommended sleep disturbance techniques worked. No guided meditation, deep breathing, or getting up to read. My soul was in charge, and my soul was not at rest. Renee Nicole Macklin Good was a mother of three a wife, and a poet who lived peacefully with her neighbors on the south side of Minneapolis. Her death was a violent act of cruelty stemming from the systemic and rising hatred and fear running rampant in our country. The killing has traumatized not only those closest to Renee, but to the entire city and country. We know that Renee Good is not the only person killed by ICE agents since Trump's inauguration. Keith Porter, 43, was killed in Northridge, California on New Year's Eve, 1 week before Renee was killed on January 7th. 7 additional people were killed in 2025, and 32 people died in ICE custody. This makes 2025 the deadliest year for ICE in more than 2 decades. This kind of barbaric treatment is being inflicted as well on trans people, black and brown people, members of the LGBTQIA+ communities, and most other vulnerable groups. There is no change in sight yet. It's enough to keep us up at night. If you are like me, you need things to do that help you engage in resisting these atrocities, and you may need ways to care for yourself so that you can keep on showing up for others. We are not all the same. Some of us have other families and personal demands and challenges that make getting involved unreasonable. What works for one person in terms of self-care may not work for the next person. Comparing ourselves to others is not helpful. Each of us needs to find the rhythms and ways that work for us now, knowing they may change over time. There are some things we all need: compassion for self and others, belief in the importance of our actions, and connection with ourselves, spirit, and others. We all may have sleepless nights, be that related to physical health, genetics, or stress. 30 to 50% of adults have insomnia at some point, according to the American Medical Association. The National Sleep Foundation reported that 17% of adults across political lines said that the 2024 presidential election affected their sleep negatively. Political anxiety and socio-political stress are real and affecting a growing number of people. Though I don't have all the answers, perhaps it will help to know the next time you have a sleepless night that you are not alone. Neighbors, concerned citizens, and many others join you. May we see our way to a time and a place where our souls can be at rest. You can join others in peaceful protesting outside the ICE office in Burlington on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. For information, visit https://shorturl.at/fnfgg. Sign up to support the work of LUCE Immigrant Justice Action of Massachusetts, including volunteering at its defense line for ICE sightings at www.loosemass.org. The Reverend Rebecca M. Bryan is the minister of First Religious Society, Unitarian Universalist Church, in Newburyport. As I See It, Olympics Still Command Our Attention, by Robert Carnes. I am a big fan of the Olympic Games, especially the winter ones. I've spent most of my non-working hours during the past week watching as much as I can: hockey, skiing, and skating in their various forms, the sliding sports, bobsled, luge, and skeleton, snowboarding, and of course, curling. Curling is only one of those I've done, if you don't count a single disastrous ski lesson when I was 6. I was part of an extremely amateur curling team for about 15 years. I don't call myself a curler, though. That would be an insult to those who really know how to do it. I remember the Olympics being a very big deal back in the days when there were not so many choices of things to watch on television. We'd talk at school about the sports we had watched the night before. I started wondering if the games were still in the draw they once were. Our Daily Star poll, among the least scientific polls anywhere, showed that half the respondents had watched at least some of the games at this time of the writing. That's not bad. The ratings seem to show people are watching. The entertainment business magazine Variety reported 21.4 million Americans watched this year's opening ceremony, an increase of 34% over the number of viewers for the opening of the Winter Olympics in Beijing 4 years ago. NBC, the longtime home of the Olympics in the U.S., reported its coverage is averaging 26.5 million viewers across the broadcast network, the Peacock streaming service. Other NBC Universal digital platforms, CNBC and USA Network. That's a 93% increase from the same period in the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. 93%. I could wonder why, but I choose not to. I do wonder how anyone could fail to be amazed at what all of these young people from around the world do. Spend some time watching ski jumpers fly through the air for distances longer than a football field, or watch the snowboarders appear to defy gravity as they twist and turn in the air as they navigate rails, half pipes, and ramps. Then take a minute and think about what you just saw. The only appropriate response is, how in heck do they do that? The same applies to the brave souls who start at the top of a mountain and descend as rapidly as they can to the bottom. Those people reach speeds of up to 90 miles per hour. Can you imagine? Most of us have never traveled that fast in a vehicle. Think for a moment of doing it on skis with the most tenuous connection to the surface, protected by nothing more than a helmet, on the verge of disaster the entire way. And these people make it a lifestyle. Wow. Disaster does befall those daredevils from time to time, as evidenced by American ski legend Lindsey Vonn, whose 2026 Olympics ended in a crash and serious injuries just 17 seconds into her first race. But they do it anyway. It's the same with the bobsled and luge athletes, who reach speeds of nearly 100 miles per hour as they hurtle down winding, icy surfaces, designed to test their abilities to its limits. Just amazing. Speed skaters zipping around an oval reach speeds of more than 35 miles per hour. Unlike the athletes listed above, they don't have gravity to help them. Speaking of skaters, let's talk for a moment about the skill of the figure skaters. What they do is incredible. The jumps and spins, and perhaps more impressive, the landing on a sliver of metal attached to their feet, would be beyond imagining if we weren't conditioned to seeing it. Add the synchronization and lifts required for pairs skating and ice dancing, and you get an idea why such a tiny percentage of the population takes that path. There is not enough space here to talk about all the skill of the hockey players, who do seemingly impossible things on ice while people in the other color sweaters try to stop them. And of course, my curlers. Their sport does not require the strength, speed, and outright bravery of the others. But make no mistake, they possess skills most folks don't. I compare curling to sports such as golf and bowling. Anyone can do it, but not just anyone can do it well. The Olympics take their name from Mount Olympus, the home of the mythical Greek gods. The name is apt. The athletes who earn the right to wear the 5 Olympic rings may not be gods, but what they do is superhuman. If you haven't watched it yet, tune in before it's all over. Rob Carnes is the editor of the Oneita New York Daily Star, a sister newspaper of the Daily News. Contact him at rcairns@thedailystar.com. TGIF, what's up this weekend? Be inspired by art. Art and Inspiration, Author and Artist in Conversation will be featured at the Newburyport Art, 65 Water Street, Newburyport, on Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. Join author Jane Ward and painter Christine Molitor Johnson as they discuss ideas, inspiration, and influences. For more information, go to newburyportart.org. Black History Month. The Custom House Maritime Museum presents 3 special pop-up exhibits in honor of Black History Month and Washington's birthday. The museum, 25 Water Street, Newburyport, is open Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. Admission is $8 for adults and free for Newburyport residents, students, and children. Year of the Horse. Welcome in the Year of the Horse at the Great Bay Tai Chi celebration of the Lunar New Year, beginning Saturday at 6 p.m. Enjoy refreshments and a screening of Jet Li's Tai Chi Master. This free event takes place at the Internal Arts New England, 102 Bridge Road, Salisbury. Snow Moon Celebration. Historic New England hosts its Snow Moon Winter Celebration on Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Spencer Pierce Little Farm, 5 Littles Lane, Newbury. Walk through the snow-covered fields. Enjoy traditional Irish folk music from Killishiel. Sip hot cider and make s'mores. Listen to interactive Indigenous stories. Learn to drum and take part in a traditional Nipmuc dance led by Larry Spotted Crow, man, of the Okotow Cultural Center. The event culminates with watching the snow moon rise over the frozen fields at 5:09 p.m. Members, $5. Non-members, $10. Member families, $20. Non-member families, $25. Call 978-462-2364 for more information. Films at the Firehouse. The Firehouse film series features Tangled on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Firehouse Center for the Arts, 1 Market Square, Newburyport. All tickets are pay what you can. Come dressed as your favorite character. For more information, go to firehouse.org. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have a safe and well day.